You're tuned in to The Playlist, exclusively on EnterTheShell.com and all along the Enter the Shell Podcast Network.
That though, you know, I rarely get to play some slow music from time to time, but I thought that that song would be cool to start off the show. For more information, make sure to log on to sonnetmusic.com. Welcome into The Playlist. Coming up later in the program, we are going to be speaking with We Are The Wilderness. I'm very excited for you guys to hear this band out of Brooklyn. Hopefully, you're going to listen to them, you're going to fall in love with them, and then you're going to go out and check them out. But before we get into that, we are going to hear some Black Angel Down with Pretty Face. Log on to Black Angel Down for more information on the band.
Saw the morning when I started mourning, 'cause I that you can't go away. Cause I just can't let you go. I know that I said you'd go away, but I just can't let you go.
Hey, this is Shanda from We Are the Wilderness, and coming up we'll be talking to Turtle, but first we're going to hear our song Leading from Emptiness.
Me.
That was We Are the Wilderness with one of my personal favorite songs, Leading from Emptiness. As a matter of fact, I can honestly say that was my favorite song. And with me is the band. Guys, how's it going?
Hi.
Oh, well, hey.
Cool. And like I was saying before, Leading from Emptiness is perhaps my favorite song from the album. Tell me a little bit about that song.
It's just kind of the whole album moves through in a way like a concept of somebody that almost like a being that wasn't familiar with the concept of human emotions and looking from it at it from a distance. And so that one was kind of, I feel like, the closer. It's at the beginning of the album when it's kind of moving through human emotion. And so that one is definitely more of an emotional track that is reminiscent of, you know, love and heartache and all these things that human beings go through.
Yeah, I really felt that, especially in your voice. I think your voice really conveyed that. I mean, I really liked the sound, but your voice just really brought that emotion through, and I think that's what really made me connect with it. Was it hard for you to try to disconnect and try to be kind of like a robot and understand these emotions, or do you feel that you've always had some sort of emotional distance from the world?
Yeah, I feel a little bit of both, more probably so the latter. And Ryan's music really helped drive an emotional attachment for me sometimes when I look at the songs just as a lyrically based. They are emotionally derivative, but the music also helps kind of connect me or bring me back into that. And so it works really well being able to plug into, you know, the framework that Ryan's created with a lot of the music.
Ryan, tell me about this interesting dynamic that you do have with Shanda. Did I say that right? Is it Shanda?
Yeah, it is.
What is that, by the way? Is that Greek or something?
I think my mom got it from a weird sci-fi novel in the 80s. So, yeah, it's pretty applicable to my personality now as an adult. Am I adult?
Cool. Ryan, like we were discussing earlier, tell me about how you portray the music with Shanda. Are you trying to always disconnect with her, or are you trying to connect to her voice?
It's a little bit of both. I'm trying to connect to her voice and to the, you know, emotion and the concept of individual songs and stuff like that, as well as kind of surround her voice and, you know, really make it shine, you know, make the voice the, you know, it's the most important part of the track. You know, I just try to do things to make it interesting to listen to and to catch the listener's attention and kind of drive home the specific emotion that we are examining for, you know, for that song.
Tell me about this balancing act that you guys have between electronic and, of course, the acoustic elements. Tell me about that balancing act. And was that always the idea with this band all along, or did you guys start off purely electronica and then, you know, went into acoustic with that?
We kind of started off just piano and voice, writing the first few sketches, you know, in my bedroom studio. And once we started listening to songs and getting a little bit more familiar with production techniques and stuff like that, then we started to incorporate more and more electronic sounds that, you know, we liked and thought kind of made an interesting kind of blending of styles.
The name of your album, is it Descending from Paramount?
Yes.
Tell me about this, because it's really an LP, not an album, correct?
It's a full-length album, 10 tracks.
For some reason, I considered it an LP. I don't know why. I was just making that distinction, and because usually albums are like 12 or 13 tracks, and like LPs are like 7 to 9. So it was quite in the middle where it could be either or. Tell me about the
yeah, that's true.
So tell me the decision to go 10. A lot of people, you know, when they, you know, have an album, like I said, they go, you know, 12, 13 tracks or less. Tell me Why 10? Was that just something that happened organically?
Yeah, we had a few extra songs that we were working on, but we just really went with 10 solid songs. I feel that in the music industry now, there's so much pressure to do things a certain way or to follow certain rules that are laid out or to, you know, just because other people had done them that way. You know, and traditionally, yeah, maybe a full length would be 12 to 13 songs, but I think we both decided that we would rather have 10 really solid, listenable songs as opposed to maybe two additional ones or three additional ones that we weren't as, you know, connected to. And I feel like making that decision is also good for the listener, so it's not, okay, 10 out of 13 songs were amazing, or maybe this, you know, I feel like it's a little easier to listen to and to digest. And some of the best songs and best albums that I remember listening to growing up were about, you know, 10 solid songs.
Awesome. Well, let's take another peek into those songs. As we hear the song, let's hear the song Worlds Burn Bright, and we're gonna have more with my guest. We Are the Wilderness right here on The Playlist.
Thank you.
Hey guys, it's Ryan from We Are the Wilderness. If you like what you're listening to, please go to wearethewilderness.com.
That was Dreams Are Thoughts by We Are The Wilderness, which you can find on their website, wearethewilderness.com. Really liked that song. It was probably my second favorite, I want to say. And it's purely because of the title. The title really got me, which Dreams Are Thoughts. And I never thought about it like that because I just interpreted my dreams as just my dreams. Tell me more about this concept of dreams being thoughts.
Well, there's different states of consciousness that we float through during the day, which, you know, it's active consciousness where we're actually thinking about what we're doing. You know, there's kind of, you know, less than active consciousness where we're daydreaming about things. And then we're still conscious, but when we're asleep, it's almost like sometimes what we've thought about the most during the day is what comes back to us even while we're asleep. And it's just kind of blending all these different levels of thought processes and consciousness to understand that they're kind of one and the same, just in different capacities. And just thinking about the way the thought process works and thoughts themselves, they can be dreams, and dreams can also be thoughts. It's kind of the reciprocity between the two is just kind of a cool thing to think about in the, like, human, you know, thought.
Have you always been this smart? I know that sounds like a real weird question, but, you know, like, it sounds like you're coming with these very abstract ideas. Have you always thought this way, or is this something that's fairly new?
I feel my brain has always been weird, as well as Ryan's. That's why we're really close. I feel that all these things have always been circulating in my head for the longest time. And it's just now, until recently, when you start to craft your art, and when you think about it, like, I'm the lyricist, and then Ryan creates these beautiful soundscapes in order to weave them into, and I feel like it's just this big tapestry of weaving these random, like, almost esoteric thoughts into the music and taking the raw material that's already in your brain and then just pulling it out and kind of, you know, trying our best to create something with it. And that's kind of the end product that I feel like we have.
Ryan, has there ever been a moment where she comes at you with this idea and you're just like, okay, you're a little too weird now. We need to step back.
Not really like that. I'm pretty open to any kind of suggestion or anything like that. My only thought process is, okay, that's awesome. Yes, but how are we going to do it? It's never I don't think so. It's, yes, I love it, but how are we going to do it? So it's a matter of trying to figure out the logistics of, you know, maybe creating the exact feeling or, you know, providing the context for these kind of crazy abstract thoughts that we sometimes have and explore.
Do you enjoy that challenge?
Yeah, I love it. It's something that just kind of keeps me going as a musician, and a producer, you know, a new challenge to figure out a new way to do something. And it's just, it's really exciting for me.
Very cool. My last question for you guys, I saw this and I thought this was really cool that you have some limited edition tank tops for sale. And I like that, you know, not many bands sell tank tops these days. And I feel that tank tops are starting to kind of make their way, especially now because it's the summer. Tell me about how involved you guys are in the design of your T-shirts.
Oh, well, we were actually looking at this when we were thinking New York City summer, it's going to be hot. We need we have tanks, but we also have really lightweight T-shirts as well that are, so, you know, if you're not like a tank dude or girl, you want something to wear, it's light. But the design came actually from our friends at Wonderpuss Octopus, PJ and Lyndon, hand drew in our video just for now, towards the end of it. She drew these characters that appear, she sent that over to this local skate shop screen printing place called Silky, and it's in the Bushwick area, and she sent it to them, and actually Silky's put together kind of a few proofs of it based on what PJ had thought about, and then we kind of okayed it. So it was a very collaborative effort in order to come up with the design and the thought for it, which I feel explicitly, you know, describes Bushwick and the artistic community that's out here, which is really cool to not say that, oh, we just did it or they just did it, but we all had a hand in kind of creating something that was really neat.
Cool. It was neat. It really caught my eye. So can't wait for you guys to come out to LA. So maybe I could buy one of those tees, you know?
Yes, we will send you one.
Definitely.
Very cool. And for more information on the band, go to wearethewilderness.com and also go out and get Descending from Paramount, which is now available on iTunes. And if you live in the New York area, go and check them out. I know they're going to be playing live sometime soon. And do you have any hard copies of your album?
We do not have any physical copies yet, but there's digital downloads available. If somebody wants something tangible, we can send, you know, just to kind of keep production, minimal.
So make sure to log on to wearethewilderness.com, and we leave you now with Outside Looking In. Hey, what's up? It's Turtle with Enter the Shell. And if you know a band or are in a band and want to be featured on Enter the Shell, email me personally, turtle@enterthesshell.com. And since you're already there, you might as well log on to Enter the Shell and download our cornucopia of podcasts and check out the blogs as well. You know, just something to keep you occupied from your daily life.